Psalms 143. Psalms 143. Do what? All right. So this is a psalm of an overwhelmed man. And these psalms, a lot of these psalms are prayers just put to music. And so I'll give you some introduction to it. And then the last part is sort of the application to notice what David actually prays for. But it my hope is, as we go through this, it'll help you think about how to pray and an attitude of prayer, and maybe help your faith a little bit as you're thinking about praying and praying. But Psalm 143, let's read, and then we'll talk about it. The Bible says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land." Selah. "Hear me speedily, O Lord." Now, just a note, this psalm was very easily broken down into two parts. The first part where he says, "Hear my prayer," and then this part where he actually prays. Verse 7. "Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant." Wow. That's quite a prayer. And, since we've been going through David's life in 1st, 2nd Samuel, he came to several points in his life where he was desperate and just overwhelmed with real enemies and real affliction. And so let's pray, and I'm going to talk about this psalm and hopefully give you a little instruction in prayer and help you. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for each soul that's here tonight. I thank you for this time together. I thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I do pray that we would get what we need to out of these verses and make the application to our own prayer lives where it needs to be made. And again, thank you so much for this privilege to be here this evening and opportunity to gather. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. A little bit of introduction. The first six verses. First six verses. You got sort of an introduction in the first six verses about the situation David's in. And then the last six verses are his actual prayer, what he says and what his requests are. And the instructive part of this, one of the instructive parts of this, is that David's prayer is not just, "Get me out of this, Lord," but he has some specific things that reveal the right, really the right attitude towards the Lord, and not just get me out of this situation. Although that's in there, that's part of it, but it's not the whole thing. That seems to be, I say that because that seems to be a lot of our prayers sometimes, just get me out of the situation. And David's prayer is very instructive. So let's break this down, and I've made it homiletic. Y'all know what that means? That means all of the points start with the same letter. Isn't that great? That's so good. That's so impressive. When I do it, I think of Paul's words about with fair speeches. You know, you just manicure the speech just right so that it sounds good and all that. But oh well, it helps to organize the thoughts. So the first thing, do it. Yes. So there's R's, four R's, and then under the last R, there's a bunch of I's. So this is really good. This is going to be, y'all need to be impressed with this. This is going to be, yeah. All right, so the first two verses deal with righteousness. When David prays, he prays on the basis of God's righteousness. When he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications, in thy faithfulness answer me, in thy righteousness." And then he says, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." That's a pretty good assessment of people and of his own life and the way mankind stands before God. And so David says, really, Lord, if I'm coming to you on the basis of your righteousness, and if you want to find fault in my life, you will find it. You just will find it. And so I can't come to you on the basis of my righteousness, so I come to you on the basis of your righteousness. Because if I tell you how good my life is, or what a great, you know, successful, good set of decisions I've made, or anything like that, it's really you're going to, Lord, you're going to be able to find fault in my life. And so I come on the basis of your righteousness. Lord, don't look for sin in my life, because you'll find it. And so David's basis for his prayer is God's righteousness and God's faithfulness. And so he pleads with the Lord on the basis of God's righteousness. That's instructive. That's something you and I ought to remember. When you pray, and what the basis of your prayer and the basis of really any of our prayers is the righteousness of God. It is the idea that, you know, Lord, I come to you as a sinner, and Lord, you are the one that's just. You are the one that's righteous. You are the one that's right. And I just plead mercy and help. And Lord, please don't be too critical of my life, because you will guaranteed find something wrong with me. And so, and right now, like I think of David as he pleads with the Lord, it's like, you know, David's saying, I have enough enemies as it is, Lord, and I don't need you to be my enemy too. I need your help. So he pleads with the Lord on the basis of God's righteousness. Number two, R word. Be prepared to be amazed. Here it is. Reason. This is the reason for his prayer. Verse 3. He says, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead." So this enemy has been successful. Might be talking about Saul, but he is successfully overwhelmed David. Look in verse 4. David even says it. "Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate." Like I look for, when he says my heart is desolate and I'm overwhelmed, you think of being overwhelmed as it usually is a combination of events. It's several things failing at once in your life. And it's just like, I have fallen so far down in this pit. I don't see how in the world I'm going to get out of this. And every time I try to move forward, I just seem to slip further and further down. And so it's just overwhelming. It's like this combination of failures and opposition from all sides, every way you turn. And then David says, and I look within myself and my heart's desolate. I can't find any motivation. I can't find any hope. I can't find any encouragement within my own heart. So he says, my heart's desolate. There's nothing there. I can't draw within myself any sort of strength at all. So this is the reason for his prayer. It's the reason for his prayer. And then with his plea based on righteousness and then the reason for it. And then you have the response he makes, verse 5. He says, because of all this that's happened, David says, I remember the days of old. So I think back to some old memories. I meditate on thy works. This causes me to think about, Lord, it causes me to think about your works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. So this is what David has been brought to now. Because of this situation, because the enemy is so overpowering and cut off all sources of supply and hope. And so David, his only resource is to think about things that God's done. That's his only resource. He can't find any resources within himself. He can't find any resources from friends. And so he looks up and he remembers things about God and what God's done. And so that's his source of inspiration, of motivation, of help. He says, I remember the days of old. He meditates on God's works. And the Bible says he muses. That's just thinking about it, mulling it over. And that's what he's been, I would say, reduced to. But it's a good thing to think about those things. But David's situation is he's been reduced to only think about those things. There's nothing else he can do other than to think about what God's done in his life. And so, and what God's done in general. And so after this response, he says, I reach, you know, I stretch forth my hands, my soul thirsteth after thee. That's what, it reminds me of what Jesus said about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That was the basis of the whole thing. And now he says, I'm thirsting after you. And then he makes the request. And this is where, this is some instructive stuff. And when David makes this request, there's some things we can learn from it. He doesn't just say, Lord, get me out of here. There are six things, maybe seven, but I'll just tell you six things that David requests of the Lord. The first thing, and it's all instructive, verse 7. Now here's, he starts making the requests. He says, hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. The first point in these last things is the importance of the Lord's attention. He says, Lord, if you don't hear me, if you don't listen to what I'm saying, if you don't hear my prayer, I have no other source of hope. I have no other source. I just continue to spiral down, down, down. And he says, Lord, if you don't hear me, my spirit fails in me. And he says, I be like them that go down into the pit. It is so important. It's so important that the Lord hear and the Lord pay attention to this prayer. And that's David understands. He says, if you don't hear me, Lord, I have no strength. I have no strength. If you don't hear me, I just continue to backslide and fall and fall and fall. You know what the point is? The point of the whole thing of this is, and this verse is, it's the importance of the Lord's attention. And when you pray, when you think about it, if you prayed with that level of earnestness, that level of faith, Lord, if you don't hear what I'm saying, I don't have any other options. I just don't have any other options. The importance of the Lord's attention, verse 7. And notice all of these. It's really neat how it's laid out. Verse 7, he says, hear me. Look in verse 8. What's the first two words? Cause me. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. The second part of this prayer and this request is imploring the Lord's revelation. Lord, I need to see your light. I need to hear what do I need to do here? What is my next step? Because seeing that light and understanding where I am and where I need to go, that is joy. That is something that is, it's light at the end of the tunnel. It's something that gives me hope. And I need your revelation, Lord. Show me. He said, I'm looking for your help. Show me, Lord. And I notice in this verse, he says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. The imploring the Lord's revelation. I think sometimes we're weak because of, and I'll try to explain this, but weak because of the flesh. Like I can't see, for instance, I'll give you an example. I heard this in a sermon the other day, and it's a great example. You remember when Jacob and Esau, well, it was Jacob. Jacob tricks Isaac. Remember that? And so Isaac can't discern the right way because of his weak flesh. He can't see very well. He can't hear very well. And it's not even necessarily a spiritual problem. It's just a physical problem. And he can't discern because his flesh is so weak. And that's a problem sometimes with us, that the flesh is so weak. It may not even be spiritual. It's just, I don't have within me the ability to discern what I need to do because my flesh is in the way. It's troubling. It brings darkness, and I can't understand where I need to be. And so David is weak. He says, cause me, Lord, cause me. Give me some revelation. Help me. Show me what I need to do. And then in next verse, verse 9, first two words, what are they? Deliver me. So you've got to hear me, cause me, deliver me. Now here's a place where he's asking to get out of this. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. The immunity because of the Lord's protection. Sometimes that immunity is not the Lord swooping down and changing circumstances or just magically making circumstances go away. I think about it in the New Testament when Paul says, he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. And then he says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. So the deliverance doesn't come because God swoops down and picks you up out of the situation. The deliverance shows up as an exit sign on a highway. I've given you a way of escape. Now, here's a way to avoid this temptation if you take this exit. I've provided an escape here. I've provided deliverance. But you're going to have to take the deliverance. You're going to have to get off the highway. So there's immunity because of the Lord's protection. And some enemies, on the other hand, some enemies you can't fight. You just can't fight. I'll get, one big one is death. You and I, we can't beat that enemy. I mean, we can prolong maybe with some decent health and medicine and things like, I mean, you can prolong your life a little bit, but ultimately you face the enemy and you can't beat that enemy. And so when David says, deliver me, or any Christian begging God for deliverance, that is an enemy that can't be beat, and you have to have God's help. There, He has to provide life. Otherwise, you and I don't have any way of conquering that enemy. So there's immunity. David says, deliver me, O Lord. There's immunity because of the Lord's protection. Sometimes that protection is a way of escape in the form of an exit off a highway, maybe. Sometimes that immunity comes in the form of actual deliverance, where there's resurrection and life to beat the death that you and I can't beat. We just can't beat that enemy. Number four in this, he says, deliver me. And then verse 10, he says, teach me to do thy will. Teach me the integrity of the Lord's direction. Teach me. Not just tell me what the will of God is, but teach me how to accomplish the will of God. Because those two things are different things. When he says, teach me to do thy will, it's one thing, and y'all understand this, it is one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to know, how do I accomplish what I know I'm supposed to do? Paul said it this way. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And then he says this, for to will is present with me. Like, I want to do the right thing. To will is present with me. Then he says, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So it's like, I know what I'm supposed to do, but Lord, I just don't know how to do what I'm supposed to do. I don't know how to accomplish that. I know I'm supposed to do this, but I find in myself an inability to understand, how is this going to get done? And so David says, teach me, not teach me thy will, but teach me to do thy will. How do I do it? How do I accomplish this? He says, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Now, you could make another one probably out of that, the lead me part, but I didn't. So there's the integrity of the Lord's direction. Not just teach me your will, but Lord, I need to know how to perform your will. I think there are lots of pastors for sure, and probably lots of Christians in general, who in their understanding, I know what needs to be done, but I just have no idea how to do that. I mean, given circumstances, given environment, given people, how do we do this? So that's what David wants to know. Teach me to do thy will. Now notice all of these things that David's asking. This is a little more sophisticated prayer than just, Lord, get me out of this situation. Because David understands that I need all of these aspects in my life. I need all of these things to happen. I need all of this to work. The next thing is this. In verse 11, the inspiration inspired by the Lord's motivation. He says this, quicken me, verse 11, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. So the Lord inspires, and David's asking for it, Lord, give me life. Inspire. Yeah, I mean, it, motivate me. Give me some life for your sake. For your sake. I think about it in the New Testament where Paul talks about eternal life. And he says, look, you are created in Jesus Christ. And he gives eternal life for the purpose of his sake. For you to do good works for his sake. For him. I mean, it's something and it's good. It's not bad. It's not like he's a tyrant about it. But David's asking for life. He's asking for motivation on the basis, which is God's basis anyway. It's for his name's sake, for his righteousness' sake. And I'll just, I'm not going to talk about it too much, but just a note, this is why it's so, God is so offended when his name is dragged through the mud. And he says, because of you, my name's blasphemed, or the Lord's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles. He said that in Romans. And the point is, look, this is the God, if it's a Christian, you are supposed to give God a good reputation in this world. He's supposed to have a good reputation because of your life, not a bad reputation. So David says, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Give me life. Give me motivation. And then the last point, the independence by the Lord's domination. He says this in verse 12, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. That's freedom. That is, Lord, okay, I've asked for you to teach me and to lead me and to quicken me and to cause me and to deliver me and to hear me. And now, Lord, I just remove the enemies, remove the shackles, remove the burdens, remove the onslaught of the enemy. Just get him out of the way. I can't do it, Lord. David says, I am thy servant. I want to be your servant. I want to serve you. I am your servant. And I am bombarded by the enemy. And Lord, I need you to get the enemy out of the way. And so probably verse 12 is about what we would probably pray. Just get rid of the enemy, Lord. Just get rid of him. But David's prayer, he understands all of these things are necessary. It's not just as simple as just get the enemy out of the way. I need to understand some things. I need some hope. I need some direction. I need help. I need motivation. And so the last thing is the liberation. It's the freeing. Of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies. I thought that was, I thought about putting something together about that, but it's always interesting when in the same verse you have these opposites. It's like, Lord, in your mercy, kill them. It's like, Lord, in your mercy, get rid of them. So I won't go any further with that, but there's a few verses in the Bible like that, but. Anyhow, all of those things, verses 7 through 12, that's David's prayer. That's what he's asking for. That's his request. Hear me, cause me, deliver me, teach me, lead me, quicken me, and cut off mine enemies. Now that is the prayer of a man with the right attitude. He got the right attitude. And I'm not into repeating necessarily the prayer, but you get the principles there that are at work from a prayer that God will listen to and hear. And so I hope that's helpful. Let's pray and we'll take some prayer requests. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for each soul that's here. And I pray it's been helpful. Thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.